hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, we're focusing on local law and order, Murfreesboro Police Department. And visiting with us this morning, the Chief of Police, Michael Bowen. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having us.
And we've got a whole bunch of others. We'll be talking with them in just a little bit. You had a busy night last night.
We did. National Night Out. Of course, that's an event we haven't hosted in a few years now. And in October, there was a national effort to have a what they call a Faith in Blue event for law enforcement across the country. And we tried that for a couple of years, and it's a great event, and it's successful in many areas. But the thing about October is you're competing with football, fall festivals, UT games, MTSU homecoming, things like that. So we decided that we would start up National Night Out again. So last night was our first effort at doing that, and I know next year we plan on building on that event and getting it up and running again. It's always been successful. I don't know if you remember the days where we had multiple sites, a lot of activity, a lot going on, and it was just a real good event. So we're going to move back towards that, and hopefully it'll be what it was.
Initially, I think it was connected with some of the other groups that were the one Crime Stoppers. Is it still?
Yeah, so we had a lot of there's a lot of independent groups that support that effort, and that's a good point, Larry.
It was started in Texas, I believe, Crime Stoppers.
And the Crime Stopper representatives were there last night as well at the Coles Montgomery tent.
I tried to walk by every tent and thank everybody, and I missed that. And well, good. Crime Stoppers, great organization as far as helping out solve some of these crimes and the things that they do. So I want to thank them for being there last night.
That extra voice you heard, which we had not introduced yet, is Public Information Officer Larry Flowers. Larry, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Bart.
And quietly in the corner, Captain Clayton Williams.
Good morning.
Yeah.
You won't be too quiet much longer. Yeah. Yes. He'll jump in.
Never mind. I was going to say something witty, but never mind.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No.
It's too early for witty.
I'm good.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I missed you the night at the town hall. I saw you sitting out there, and then by the time I made my rounds around, you'd already left. So
that was a great gathering.
Yeah. So that's the third one that the I say recently. We had the one at Blackman, and I say we at the mayor is setting those up. And I think those are great events, because one of the things that you always hear is, you know, you think that there's a single perspective on a lot of issues, but when you get groups together, you really realize, hey, your neighbor probably doesn't think the way that you do. And it's really get to see those ideas put out there, because sometimes you got to just compromise and find some middle ground that everybody can agree on. So I love those events, and I think they're very productive.
And although there's a little high energy in places there, it's good to have that cross exchange of information.
Well, your elected officials are very caring people, and they want to do what's right for the city of Murfreesboro, and your citizens love their town, they love their community, and they want to make sure that it's managed the best way possible. So, I mean, what better forum than to just sit down and talk about issues and discuss options and things like that. Very productive.
And, of course, one of the great things is the community policing. When issues come up or when concerns arise, the community works with you, and you work out a way to resolve that. And then one of the things that had come up, and I don't think we've talked about this too much in depth, we've mentioned it a little bit, concern about security in the downtown area, and Murfreesboro Police is right on top of it.
Yeah. There's still, we still have a lot of challenges. because you really had to look at people's constitutional rights to be in public places versus individuals who are doing things that are inappropriate or even violating the law. And it's just a challenge balancing those. You know, you hear about people standing around particular areas, and you know, in public places, you know, just being there is not something that we can address. Our approach is to try to identify homeless people, try to identify people that may be having mental health issues, and just trying to contact them and just saying, hey, is there a way we can help? Are there resources we can get to you? Because our goal is finding long-term solutions for individuals. It's not moving people from street corner to street corner is not the solution. And if we can find long-term solutions, find resources in the community that we can connect them to and get them returned to a better quality of life, I mean, that's the ultimate goal, and I think that's what everybody wants. They want these individuals to have help, and if they're struggling, to help lift them up.
As you look at things that have been going on in Murfreesboro here, first of all, I've got to say congratulations. I've never been so amazed at what the real-time crime center has done. I've seen it working with other cases, and has, you know, it's been amazing. But this attempt of stealing an ATM machine last Friday morning from a gas station. I mean, you had no clues around there. I mean, these were people from out of state. You didn't know that until they were apprehended later. But the ATM was not taken. But unfortunately, one of the culprits was killed. He was shot by a person inside the store because they were in fear of their life. And I can see somebody knocking out a window with a sledgehammer, coming in shouting and all of that. That would certainly make you fear for your life.
Yeah, Bart. And, you know, there's been so many successes. I think in the town hall the other day, I think last year, the first year that the system was up and running, we had what we call them successes. Or at least that's what the analysts call them. 400, and what that means is that the system gave us a lead, helped us locate something, and I think this year, halfway through this year, we're up to around 275 successes, and I was going to do it this week, and I probably need to do it next month. Captain Keaton couldn't be here today, but I need to bring him in, and along with our crime data analyst supervisor, Ryan Lawrence, and have them sit down and talk with you, because we have a lot of active cases. We have a lot of cases that have been resolved and things like that, and they know where everything is as far as where they are in the steps of prosecution, things like that, and they would be a I think it'd be good to bring them in and let them kind of talk about some of those things and kind of tell you where we're at and look at past cases that may have already been resolved that we can talk about a little bit more freely. But
the license plate reader is what helps you on this one, wasn't it?
Yeah, most of the times, you know, I've always said that if I had to pick one piece of technology out of that crime center, and everything else had to go away, it'd be the LPR systems. You get your most value for those, and I know that that people are still a little concerned about safety. But remember, those aren't tracking individuals; they're tracking vehicles, and that stuff is limited access at MPD. I know some agencies may give all of their officers access to that, but we have very limited access as to who can query that. We have audit provisions. We have if you need information from that system and you're an officer, you need to fill out the proper request that we can say, hey, yeah, he got this information, but here's why he needed it or she needed it. So we try to make sure that stuff is protected, but on the other side, it's amazing how effective it is and how but it's like any tool. I can give you a computer, I can give you anything, and the tool's only as good as the people operating it. And I can tell you that I'm amazed by the analysts that we have at our department. They are sharp, and they really the way they think through things is just amazing, and they have really, they're really outside the box thinkers, and have done some amazing things with that system. So yeah, it's equipment, but the success I think goes to them.
Yeah, it's exciting to see. You're trying to figure out how would they have apprehended these people
right. In
Arkansas, because you didn't know who they were to start with.
Right.
It wasn't like they were going to a nearby apartment and living there.
Right.
The LPA or LPR license readers were tracking them on Interstate 40 in Arkansas, which alerted the Arkansas State Police. They pulled them over without incident. And you got to think it was without incident, because they probably thought, they have no clue. This right. is a burnt-out light, or, you know, who knows what.
Right.
So they didn't try to run.
Right.
And there were four people in there who were suspects from this one in Murfreesboro were apprehended without any problems.
Right. And, yeah.
Out of curiosity, because I think this is what really puts it all together and gets a big round of applause for that facility, the real-time crime center, from when it started, 5 o'clock that Friday morning, until they were apprehended. I think people would be amazed at the quick response time, because that's from beginning to end. You had them locked up.
Yeah, it's pretty fast.
It was. How fast was it?
I mean,
was it within
time,
one day or a half day?
It was within a day. Yeah, absolutely.
Larry's looking at his calculating with his...
Yeah. And, you know, just going back to that system. So you got to remember, we've been in the building, 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
7 years this month. So it's a new facility.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were building that facility, the thought of a real-time crime center or the thought of this technology wasn't even on our radar.
Yeah.
So basically, we went in and found a large meeting room and said, hey, this will suffice. So we developed it. We're looking at we're already needing some more room. The mayor and council approved us to get some more positions this year to help with that center, to where we can have more coverage throughout the hours of the day. And what was it, Clayton? We advertised analyst position, 400 something applications. Those jobs are people want to do these jobs.
Technology type people.
Yeah. So yeah, we look for people that have individuals that are good at what the jobs is, analyzing mm-hmm. data, have background in things in that type of work. Maybe a combination of law enforcement analysis type work. But 400 something applications, and it's probably one of our biggest. We probably get one of our biggest responses mm-hmm. to that particular position. And it's great, because these aren't certified police officers, so we can bring them in, get them to work fairly quickly with some internal training and just getting them familiar with the system. So it's a win for us. And then you talk about the quick apprehension the other day, everything going on. I just picture that going on prior to having the crime center, the mm-hmm. phone calls, the man hours, the traveling, the things that would have gone into trying to locate those individuals.
You might still be looking for those people.
You might still be
especially
looking for them.
Especially if they're all, and they were going to Texas.
Right.
They surmised.
Right. So the way it saves investigative hours just by having that information available, it's amazing. I think it has exceeded what we expected initially.
Larry, do you have a number yet on that?
I don't. It was that same day. From what I understand, that they were arrested on Friday.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't.
I'd venture to say, was it even a half a day? I don't know. But it was.
That
it was
really
pretty
tells
quick.
A dramatic story. I mean, if you can say, within 8 hours or 12 hours, they were, because they were so unknown, and that just shows you what this real-time crime center can do.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is there something next on the horizon, as far as technology for your real-time crime center? You have the ability to track gunshots. You can hear them, and then you triangulate the sound, and it takes you within how close to?
Does 90 to 120 feet.
That's what I thought. I didn't want to say that number. It sounded so unbelievable.
Yeah. It's amazing stuff. Of course, of course, when you look at the LPR systems, they're kind of dispersed throughout the city. The gunshot detection technology, you have to look at cost on these things. You have to look at where there's really a need. So just based on some of the historical data, we have about a five or less square mile area that those actually cover. You know, Murfreesboro is 60-something square miles. So it doesn't cover a large portion of the city, but it covers the portion of the city where we've had, like I said, historical data to justify putting them in those places. So,
very good. Clayton, you're always watching some of the top things happening in the community, traffic-wise. What is your big concern right now, traffic-wise? That, and when people are, maybe somebody new is listening, they're thinking, well, why is he bringing up traffic after he's been talking about a shooting and all of that stuff? Traffic is the number one concern among citizens here.
I was going to say, from that, if you remember that meeting the other night, I think the mayor, he very early on addressed that issue in the meeting there, and he does it in a kind of interesting way. But I think just I appreciate it, though, because it's one of those things of saying, hey, we understand and we're aware. But for the police department side, you know, our big thing that I think we've said it multiple times here and even across the state, you know, distracted driving is always a key thing for us that we're looking for. Impaired driving, and then the speed enforcement and seatbelt enforcement will never be things that aren't issues that contribute to crashes and oftentimes leads to the injuries and or fatalities. Those are always going to be our key things. I know we've our task force and also our resources just at the Murfreesboro Police Department, we've been doing some focusing on some intersection and red light enforcement this summer. We'll probably continue that because we know it's a problem, it not only on the crash side, but it just the most quality of life, you know, people causing delays because they're extending the cycle of that, excuse me, that light and the time people have to wait because of clogging up some of these intersections. So especially with school starting back this week, our traffic resources will definitely be devoting some time to some school zone enforcement, which is heavily focused on not only speed but hands-free and restraints. So don't be surprised if you see those in the school zones, and you know, those are always things that are very well received, and I don't think anybody would disagree that we want to keep those safe. And if everybody can, you know, exercise some patience as they're having to travel through those areas, it will help everyone. But yeah, it's a collaborative effort, and there is not necessarily any one thing. It's a lot of pieces, and we continue to add to our staff in those areas, the people that are dedicated to that, and I see that continuing in the future as we continue to grow and the city continues to grow.
And we have a text here from a listener who's asking, they're concerned about people just running red lights. They say that they see it all the time. In fact, they almost pulled out onto a main thoroughfare the other day, and the light had been green for them for a little while. They've tried to learn to not start as quickly, and a truck just went on through.
Yeah, that's, again, we hear those same kind of complaints, and we see those as we drive around. So that's one of the reasons why we've made that an emphasis this year. And it's a little bit different strategy, and it takes a little bit of planning, but we do have enough people in place now that we can do those. And if there's a particular problem area that you see this on a regular occurrence, definitely reach out. We've got still have our traffic complaints center set up on the website where you can submit a traffic complaint. Takes just a few minutes. You don't even have to speak to anyone, and they will return data on that and let you know if they find, you know, what's been done with it. But that's also one of those that in a red light situation like that, if they want to pick up the phone, don't have time to get on the website, you can call our non-emergency number and report that, no problem.
Yeah.
Let's take a phone call real quick here.
Sorry.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you?
Yes. How you doing?
Doing great.
Hey, just got a question here about police precincts. You know, when I was in Macon, Georgia, empty shopping centers like Roses and Food Line on Las Casas, some of the smallest stores that was there, You know, Macon, Georgia, they got police precincts in those. So I know, like, the CVS building over there off of Military, it's probably too big. But some of those little smaller stores that's empty around Murfreesboro look like they would be good for police precincts to maybe operate 12, 15 officers out of there. I'll hang up and I'll listen.
Thank you for calling. What about that?
Yeah, great comment. So, yeah, police precinct is on our mind right now. I know that when we had Highland Heights and Franklin Heights and different areas around town that the where we were offered the opportunity to have police precincts, we had them in those areas, and we kind of moved away from that. And, you know, from your discussion, Bart, you know, about the downtown area, now we're looking at, hey, do we need to staff downtown, which in reality, if you had a downtown precinct, you know, it would probably be wide enough to cover some of those areas that he's talking about, like around Middle Tennessee, those particular areas. So, yeah, as far as expansion precincts, we're definitely thinking about, you know, options there. The challenge is not to have too many precincts and not be spread out enough, because you can just have too much concentrated in one area. And the big challenge for us in reality is having some type of presence on the other side of I-24, because, you know, I've heard it said before, and I've said it myself plenty of times, that I-24 corridor is a natural barrier in so many ways as far as separating the city. I think the mayor said the other night, if you took the west side and cut it away from the rest of the city, you'd have one of the seventh, eighth largest cities in the state. So the challenge for us is trying to find some way to get on that side of the interstate and being able to provide a better quality of service in that area. So a lot of discussion to come as far as what strategy we employ, but the caller's right. There's definitely some thought that needs to be put in moving some resources away from that main building into precinct locations.
Okay, well, let's pause for just a moment. We will continue the conversation when we return right here on your good neighbor station, WGNS Murfreesboro. If you have a question or if you have a comment, text or talk, all of that at 615-893-1450.
Bringing humor, insight, and a voice of reason. Hey, it's Rick. Join me for the Rick Burgess Show on WGNS, weekdays 11 till 2.
Are you tired of constantly spending money on sprays and other things to control mosquitoes around your home? If so, come by Holden Hardware and get the Spartan Mosquito Eradicators. When used properly, the Spartan Mosquito Eradicators will kill mosquitoes. Come by Holden Hardware on the square and get the Spartan Mosquito Eradicators. This year, make mosquito control easier and cheaper. Come by Holden Hardware on the square and get the Spartan Mosquito Eradicators.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. When Kristen said, okay, you know, when we're going to do the remodel, because we're celebrating 35 years, we also wanted to make it more open and inviting, so we made the lobby a lot more open. Booth seats a little bit different colors to kind of still keep it a little up to date, make it fresh. We wanted to make it cozier, make it a little bit brighter for people to see, to pay homage to where we have been the entire time. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Our prices will normally meet internet prices. When I buy a guitar, I have to put my hands on the guitar neck. You can do that here. You can try your instrument before you ever put any money on it at all. And still, cheaper than what you could get online most of the time, at least master prices at worst. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
Good morning. Still got heavy traffic out here coming down Vietnam Vets westbound. Approaching Conference Drive, all that traffic coming through Hendersonville. It's been slow for a while. 65 north up through Spring Hill, trying to get up through that southern portion of Williamson County. Still building right now in from Wilson County through the Mount Juliet area as that traffic volume gets a little bit heavier on I-40 westbound as you head over into Hermitage. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken has live entertainment tonight at 6 o'clock. Order online throughout the day at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
From brakes and alignments to new tires and wheels, Tire World, locally owned and operated in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne.
Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
Online at tireworld.us.
When the weather's at its worst, we're at our best. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Who is that masked guy that slipped in there? Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We are back. The Action Line this morning is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. Their virtual meeting is coming up Saturday, August 16th. Saturday the 16th, the virtual meeting of Middle Tennessee Electric, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You can register to be eligible for prizes. You can submit questions. You can vote for the officers at Middle Tennessee Electric. You can do it online or by phone. More at mte.com/annual meeting. Welcome back. Want to say happy birthday this morning to Michelle Blaylock Hauser, our Slick Pig birthday winner. She wins that delicious banana pudding from the Slick Pig. And our good neighbor of the day is Julie at Panera Bread over on Memorial Boulevard. Julie is always there with a warm smile and uplifting spirit, making her bright spot for every customer. Turns a rough day into a sunshine day. Julie at Panera Bread on Memorial. Welcome back. We're talking law and order this morning. Murfreesboro Police Chief Clayton. Sorry.
Nope. You know something I don't know?
Nope. There's a coup going on here. That was a later release. I'm sorry we let that one out. No, I'm kidding. Chief Michael Bowen, how are you, Michael?
Pretty good.
I'm going home.
And Captain Clayton Williams. P.I.O. Larry Flowers, how are you, Larry?
I'm well.
Do you want to be the chief?
No, I'm not certified. I can't be the chief.
Well, we're around the corner from school. Some of them are going on. That presents some challenges, and it presents some education for motorists.
Yeah. And I know we talked about that earlier, and thanks for letting us revisit the topic, because without a doubt, this time of year, we will start getting complaints about the way parents drop off kids at schools and all the issues, and it happens every year. And there's that settling in period. You got new parents that aren't familiar with the school procedures. There's it just takes time for adjustment. So I would just encourage if you're dropping off kids at school and you see some things or you get frustrated, just have some patience those first couple weeks and just let things kind of settle in. I know that a lot of these schools are built around neighborhoods. So if you're picking up children, you know, remember, don't block mailboxes, don't block driveways, those types of things. And just make sure that you're being mindful of those type things. And within a couple of weeks, things should settle in and everybody will know the routine. But know that we'll be in those school zones. We'll be conducting enforcement. I always get a phone call or email talking about how mean we are for first day of school being out there. But remember, the purpose of us being there is we want everybody to get in the mindset that those school zones are now active. They're going to be active for some time now as kids return to school. And we just want it to be a safe environment for people to be able to travel through those areas and not encounter any issues, and we want those children to be safe as they come to and from school. Clayton, I know you had some.
If anybody's traveling in the West Northfield area just off of Memorial there, you may have seen some light construction. I know I drove through there yesterday, and there's some temporary lights there. They've extended the entrance off of Dover Street to Middle Tennessee Christian School, and they're going to incorporate that into a school zone. So if that's normally part of your route, especially when you're coming from Highland, you know, there may be some slowdown and backup there on the road. So just exercise some extra caution there and be patient while they finish, get that fully installed.
Yeah, and the temporary lighting, there's temporary lighting that you're probably visually not used to. So yeah. Just remember it's there, and it'll be replaced with a more permanent solution.
And where is that location again?
So it's West Northfield at Dover Street. That most people may not know where Dover is because if you're not going to the school or live there, but it's between Highland and Memorial Boulevard.
Okay, near what school?
Middle Tennessee Christian.
No, okay.
It's a back entrance, so you don't see the school from the road, but they've changed some of the footprint of the school to allow that entrance to be used a little more to get, and it should hopefully help with some of that Memorial Boulevard
rough.
Traffic.
Yeah, that's really rough.
Yeah, there's a lot of people going in and out of there. So
very good. That school has exploded in size.
They've grown. They're doing a lot of building over there.
Yeah. We have a text question here from a listener, and they're asking about, they say they see people using the hand phones while driving all the time, and they know that's dangerous. What's being done to stop that?
Issuing citations when we can catch them, but I mean, it's one of those things. I think
you just can't see it, I guess.
Not well, and enough people are doing it to where it's kind of like you can't catch everybody all the time.
Can you pull that mic around in front of you a little bit?
Bart,
or aim it toward you. Aim it toward you, I think is what it is, because when you get to the side of it, it sounds like you left the room.
That's about the fifth time you scolded me for that.
Well, you haven't had to go to the back of the room yet.
All right. What were we saying?
Hands-free. You were talking about.
Yeah. So definitely distracted driving, the red light, the neighborhood speeding, those are things that are definitely on our radar. And I wish we could issue ear-based citation that's doing it, because it really is dangerous. You see people sitting at intersections because they're on the phone, the light turns green, traffic's all backed up, and you know that person's not moving because they're on the phone. Or you see people, I see it a lot of times at nighttime when I'm off at work, because you can see the light inside the car as people are driving down the road, and man, they're just focused on it, and you cannot drive safely and have that device in your hand, and it's just dangerous.
Yep.
We got another question here from a listener. They said they were in traffic yesterday. They're on Old Fort Parkway, and they were toward the back of the line and wondering why it was not moving. And when they heard that it was a pedestrian had been hit, their heart went out to them, because they say they hear about this all too often in Murfreesboro, and they think that sidewalks would reduce that problem. Now, this person was not on a side. She was crossing the roadway.
Right. That was actual, I think, across the road in the crosswalk. Mm-hmm. And, tragic incident. And I think, Larry, you all may have put out something on that. So, of course, the investigators will be working on that case to figure out all the...
Is there anything you can do about making it safe? I don't know how you could make it any different from what it is.
So in that case, without knowing all the specifics, it's obvious a vehicle hit a pedestrian, but then you have to look into, you know,
but
some
I
of
mean
the,
in other cities, what can you do to make those crosswalks?
I'm fixing to come. So we have to look at the causal factors to know, you know, how to respond. But I think the sidewalks, the education, there's just so many components to it. And I think, Clayton, the pedestrian grant, are we still doing that?
Yeah, it's getting ready to – I think it's – one's closed, but it's getting ready to start back up. And the engineering piece, I mean, the city just invested – that's been a massive project right there. Intersection was just redone.
It's marked well.
With crosswalks
And, and the reason I said what I was saying, Bart, was, you know, you just have to have that awareness.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this is an individual dent, because I don't know the details behind what occurred. But, yeah, just that attentiveness when you go into those intersections, make sure you're not being distracted, because you don't know what motorists are going to do. motorists, you know, when you're entering those intersections, when you see those crosswalk markings on the road, just pay attention and make sure that you're not missing something. And then, like I said, the state has sponsored a grant that involves pedestrian safety, and we're participating in that as a, you know, the educational component. And it's just going to be a combination of things, because you will have, you got a lot of people walk across this town. You got, like, on those main roads, they'll either go from a hotel to a restaurant. You've got the homeless individuals in town that you'll see walking along the roadways. And it's just, man, it's just really being aware. And when you're behind that wheel, focus on what you're doing. Don't be distracted, and just paying attention to what's going on around you.
Now, that's one of those situations where I guess really both of them had the right of way. She was crossing, and the traffic in the lane that she was crossing was stopped by a red light, but the other person was coming out of a side street, and I guess he had the right of way, or he couldn't have been coming out.
I think there's a lot going on in that, and I think their investigators are really that. Obviously, that's the question that comes up, and I think it's just important. You know, we always, and whether it be a pedestrian crash or whether it be a two-vehicle crash, our investigative team, they look at every possible detail and investigate those very thoroughly, because they are highly scrutinized. And obviously people that are the families of victims want answers, and we want that too. But I think it's also important to remember, and this is kind of, I think, where Chief was going, is that in these cases, you can, there, yeah, there may be somebody right and somebody wrong, but at the end of the day, somebody's still dead. And even though somebody may have been in the right, there's, in a traffic violation situation, I think sometimes just being more aware and exercising a little bit of care could prevent someone losing their life. And that's what we're most concerned with. But, you know, we'll do our due diligence and make sure that, you know, we present all the facts and findings to whether it be in a court system, or be prepared, you know, to answer those in a civil side. But yeah, at the end of the day, our thing is, it's just tragic that we lost, you know, someone like this. And yeah, it's a tough thing.
Yeah, and you're impacting multiple families, multiple lives. Yep. It's not just it's tragic.
It is.
Now, are you seeing, with traffic being a problem, and this has been the number one issue in Murfreesboro from the citizen standpoint, they're most concerned about heavy traffic. Has that increased the number of pedestrians being hit? It seems like it has increased, but I haven't tried to keep numbers on it. But are you noticing that?
Yeah, I think it's like crime. You have to track it, you know, kind of like a number of incidents per your population increase. And I haven't looked at those numbers recently.
Maybe that's one of those. I mean, we could get that, but I know we focus heavily on that fatality number at the end of the year. And sometimes those, it may be pedestrian, but a lot of times it's involving multiple vehicles. But that's something I guess we could look at. I don't know that I could, comfortably say if it's changed a lot.
Okay. Our phone number, 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. We're going to pause for just a moment, and we will be back and continue the conversation this morning right here on WGNS. We're talking law and order. Visiting with us this morning, Chief Michael Bowen, Captain Clayton Williams, and Public Information Officer Larry Flowers.
FM 1019, FM 100.5, WGNSradio.com. The Good Neighbor Network.
Hi, this is Jenny Harrison with Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. I want to welcome you into our shop for a variety of different things to see. And if this bright sunshine isn't cheering you up enough, we have some lovely bright and cheery arrangements to help give you an extra boost to your day. This is Jenny at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. If you'd like to lift somebody up, come on over to Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. We're located at 117 South Academy Street, just across the road from East Main Church of Christ. Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts.
For home restoration at a price you can afford, trust the professionals at Farrah Construction to get the job done on time and within your budget. Farrah Construction can remodel your home, or can update your kitchen, bath, or other rooms. I'm Ron Hall. If you can dream it, Farrah Construction can turn it into reality. Call Farrah Construction at 615-893-6120. Shop local. Let our family business help you. Fair Construction Company.
Hi, this is Trevor from Bell Jewelers. We just got in a new shipment of natural diamonds with very competitive prices. We carry the popular shapes like oval, marquee, cushion, radiant, and emerald cut. The cut is probably one of the most important parts of a diamond, and we are here to help you find the best diamonds for you. The sparkle of these excellent cut diamonds shows that nothing sparkles like a Bell Jewelers diamond. Come see us at Bell Jewelers, 821 Northwest Broad Street, across from Toots.
We'll see mostly sunny skies here this afternoon, a high around 90 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy and a low around 69. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 71.
We got some good neighbors and we like bragging on them. Nominate a good neighbor every day. Put it in writing on WGNS.
WGNS. AM. FM. FM. Online.
By the way, our good neighbor today is Julie over at Panera Bread on Memorial Boulevard. And the person who nominated Julie said her warm smile and uplifting spirit makes her a bright spot in the day. Julie, a big shout out to you. She's going to be receiving flowers today from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. That's where you need to go to send a smile to somebody else. Welcome back. We're talking Law and Order this morning. It's our final segment, so if you have a question or a comment, you better get it in quickly. Talk or text, whichever you prefer, all at the same number, 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. Chief Michael Bowens here, Captain Clayton Williams, and Public Information Officer Larry Flowers. They're here to answer whatever concerns are on your mind about law and order, traffic, things of that sort, right here in Murfreesboro. And we have a question here. The person's asking about some of the people who are, especially young people, who are buying these drinks at convenience stores that give them a buzz. Does that give a problem with driving? I guess they're talking about some of these energy drinks. I'm not sure. I know we had an energy drink that we had. Are you drinking one?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it doesn't have... we ran an editorial, speaking of this, called... It had OH7 in it. OH7.
Okay.
And that is an opioid.
Really?
And it's from a Kartam or Kartom tree.
Oh, Kratom.
Kratom, okay.
Yeah.
And it's out on the market, and they don't know what to do. But does that have, is that one of those drinks?
This one doesn't have OH7, it says no.
Because you always have a nice smile.
Yeah. I saw an article the other day where one of the bottlers for energy drinks messed up and put vodka in it as the base instead of water because they bottle White Claw at the same time. But to your point, I think there's some drinks now out on the market that are like, yeah, they're not supposed to be alcohol, but I think it uses some different... Kratom's been around a long time. I mean, a lot of people would make... They call it like tea out of it and drink it, and it's supposed to have some type of, you know, impact. But there's some out there now, I think, that they even advertise they use certain, like, mushroom products and different herbal things that are supposed to give you the feeling of... or sensation of it would be drinking alcohol, but without the hangover, the buzz. But, yeah, we've seen things people use to be impaired. I mean, across the map. Anytime if it's something where we would still use the same type of indicators and same types of testing, you know, that we would if we see somebody or we believe they're driving impaired or we saw something that they had taken, you know. So there will always be new things on the market like that. But luckily, the standards are the same. And now that the primary testing method for impaired driving, they would use a blood test. A lot of times that would show. And then with creative pieces, like sometimes the district attorneys have to make or when it gets to the court, to make a determination of like, well, we see this, you know, and they have to base that on the factors and what was going on at the time to determine if it did in fact impair their driving. So I don't know that I've seen any. I haven't heard that come bubble up from any guys on the street that said, "Hey, I saw this." But it is. I do see advertisements for that, so it is something else to just have to be aware of.
Yeah, and I guess for the caller's benefit, if there's a concern about a particular product where they might think that there's something that's inappropriate for juveniles to purchase, mm-hmm. you know, if it's something that requires somebody to be a certain age, like alcohol, you know, if they have a concern about a particular product, give me a call. I'll put you in touch with the right person. We can say, hey, yeah, that product is okay for individuals to buy, or no, that should be not knowing the particular product or what's in it, it's hard to comment, but we'll be glad to answer those questions. And if it's something that we need to address, we'll be glad to address it. Sure. So, but like Clayton said, there's so many products, and you've got so many of these things out there. And even the legislation on some of the products is just, you know, back and forth and trying to keep up. It's challenging at times.
Yeah. We have about a minute left in our broadcast, and we're in the first week of school. That'll be going on for at least everybody this week. Some of our already in school. But any final thoughts, any reminders, any underscoring that you want to share this morning about back to school?
No, just remember those intersections. You know, as always, we want people to focus on safe driving habits. And as many complaints as we receive, and as much effort as we try to put behind traffic enforcement, you know, nothing can replace personal accountability. So if people are teaching the young drivers to be personally accountable and just really following the rules of the road, I mean, that goes a long way. So,
very good. Well, we want to say a special thank you to Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen, Captain Clayton Williams, and Public Information Officer Larry Flowers for joining us this morning and updating us on law and order here in the heart of Tennessee. Great place to live. Thank you for making it a safer place to live. Much more to come right here on your good neighbor station, WGNS Murfreesboro. We'll be back tomorrow.